Welcome back, Ironing Out the Kinks, episode 18. You're joining Luke and Chelsea, happily married couple who love talking about all things naughty, kinky and sexy in order to destigmatize them and have normal conversations.
Yup.
I noticed this week, I always thought, because we live in like a normal world, you and I, we're like normal people who aren't dickheads. I've started seeing more and more trends of people like bashing people, like online.
It's because you live in the comments section.
It's where the gold comes in.
Drama.
It is, but it is like mental that people will like hammer other people for just being them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think it's fucking weird. I just think it's mental. So if you're listening to this, you're probably one of the cool people who are like all about just being you. Or at least listening to people with the exploration or with the idea of exploration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about. Because as far as I'm concerned, you get one crack at this.
Life's too short to be.
Exactly.
I'm not going to say. I was going to go really rude then. We just started the episode. I don't need to be horrible to people.
Now fuck them. They're dickheads. Do you know what? Life's too short. But do you know what's not short?
Go on.
This intro.
No. So.
Get on with it.
Sure. So top 100 kinks kicking off today. It's a pegging and male anal play.
We could have done those in two different ones.
I feel like they kind of come under the similar category.
They go hand
male
in hand.
Male anal stimulation.
Okay. Tell us about it.
So.
you didn't tell me what it was before the episode. You wouldn't tell me what it was, and now you want me to lead the charge.
So let's get started with saying that it is where the male G-spot, I guess you can say. It's not actually a G-spot, but it's the coined term.
It's the thing that constricts and tenses when you orgasm, and other things. It has a lot of
sensation for a man, more than
like
a woman.
Some wild like person who's like a doctor or something listening, like, well, actually listen, we're doing our fucking best,
okay? We're not medical professionals,
we're absolutely not,
we're just kinky.
Okay, so it's where it feels good when it's tickled.
Yeah, so you have, obviously there's an array of things that you could do, but a very more common well-known one would be pegging, which is essentially a man getting fucked in the ass, usually the person doing it
by somebody with,
I was about to say this.
I'll shut up.
So usually the person doing it will be wearing strap-on,
okay,
so a belt or underwear type looking thing with an insert to put whatever size dildo, fake cock, vibrating applicator
you're going so
that you want.
Okay, we've alluded to this before. We've spoken about it before.
Yeah, and we've had questions on it before, but we've never actually spoke about the topic on Top 100 Kinks.
No, we actually haven't. I mean, it's not just, and we're talking about like other stuff, so it's not just about strap-ons and pegging.
No.
Like, we're talking about like fingers, we're talking about just stimulation.
Beads.
Yeah,
eggs,
beads.
If you're into it.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
We'll start this off with like a warning. Don't put anything in your ass that doesn't have like a stopper or the ability to get it out.
No.
Because, you know, we've all seen like the funny, you know, A&E programs where it's like, yeah, I fell on the toilet brush and I was naked in the shower. Or like, yeah, this Barbie doll just came out of nowhere.
My kids left stuff everywhere and I tripped down the stairs and like the entire thing from head to toes ended up in my anal
inside
cavity.
Me. But yeah, getting onto the actual like good side of it, it's exactly that. It's another way of being stimulated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, you know, there'll be people who say it's not comfortable for them. Sound.
Yeah.
Some stuff isn't comfortable for people. That's cool. But if you allow yourself to sort of relax into something and experiment with it, it is fucking really good.
Yeah. And I understand the whole, you know, it might not be comfortable for some people in terms of comfort rather than what their mind will allow them to do.
Yeah.
But a finger isn't that big.
No.
A lubed up finger isn't that big. And, you know, you haven't got to go straight in with a massive dildo ramming your arsehole. You can start small.
You can. And it is, there is like, I tell you what I've always found. Mm. I've always found the the men who are like, nothing's ever going in my ass, are the ones who are always wanting to fuck their wives or partners in the ass.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, so how are they cool with it? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah, you know, I don't know. I won't get into it because I'll end up on a tangent again. And I'm pretty sure only some people like my tangents.
Yeah. So as well as obviously the actual pegging element of it, as we said, there's other things that you can do. I know there's actual male G-spot massages,
yeah,
aren't they?
Angles,
the
yeah.
angles one. So you can be having sex while a little vibrating machine mover, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
is stimulating your G-spot as well. And it's just something, you know, men who are open enough to do it and have done it,
yep.
I don't really hear anything bad from them. They usually say, that was the best orgasm I've had. I come so hard. It's never like, no, horrible, never doing that again.
I'm exactly the same. Anyone who's ever said to me about it, when I'm like, yeah, I'll do that, I think it feels fucking great. Mm. They're like, I've done it as well, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Never had anybody go, did it, came, didn't like it.
Exactly.
You know?
It's just more about the breaking down the stigma behind it. I think there's going to be a small lot of blokes that aren't going to enjoy it, fair enough, but for the most part, people who have done it enjoy it. So it's all about, you know, you openly talking about it, your friends openly talking about it, saying, yeah, I've tried it, I enjoy it. It's breaking down that stigma to allow more people to give it a little go.
I hope so. And if you're somebody who wants to, you know, stimulate your partner's prostate, like, just do a little bit of research on where it is.
Yeah.
Because if, you know, you wouldn't want somebody just rooting around in your asshole, just blindly firing into all walls. You know, you do want to make it the best for them possible. So have a little bit of a look. It's quite easy.
Quite simple, yeah.
And if it's something you're interested in and you're like, just being brave. Number one, you don't have to tell anybody.
No.
You can just do what you want mm-hmm. when the door's closed, you know, as long as it's
cool. You can get a little plug.
Yeah, or just get one of those prostate massagers. Yeah. I've never used one. I'd be keen to try.
Yeah?
For sure.
Something we'll look into.
100%. We'll do a review. We need like a sex toy company to sponsor us, really.
So we can do reviews.
Yeah, exactly. And we can be like, yeah, it's this company. I'm not even going to say the company's name that I'm thinking of that I know sponsors loads of podcasts.
Mm.
I'm not going to say their name. Not until they slide us a little bit of pee on the side. Or just a toy. I don't care. Send us a toy. If you work or know anybody who works with sex toy companies, point them in our direction. Because
mm-hmm.
we want to try it. But yeah, it's the problem is the stigma.
Yeah.
The problem is
it's the
immature.
I was about to say it's the immature, almost macho man who's not willing just to put on a little bit of lipstick and enjoy himself. You know,
yeah.
My metaphor.
I've never
there.
Put on lipstick for this, but yeah.
Well, you know what we're doing after.
Don't tempt me.
I'm
going to
dress you pretty.
Don't, because you actually have put makeup on me before. A long time ago. Not for sexual purposes, just
and
for
you
jokes.
You're gorgeous.
I did set the room on fire. My eyes did sparkle with the smile of 1,000 children. I don't know. We're pretending that we're okay, but I'm really tired. I'm so tired right now.
Luke just ate like an entire chicken and wants to go to bed.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it. Me and that chicken had a moment. But anyway, back to pegging and anal stuff.
Mm.
The barriers, like we said, are, I think they're all psychological. Again, there are some people who will be like, it just doesn't feel good in my asshole. I just mm-hmm. can't get it to relax. Cool. It's not for you. Okay. But there are loads and loads and loads of people who would be like, I just don't want to try that because...
Yeah.
There is no fucking reason. There is no because.
Yeah.
You know, very quick to want to have an orgasm by someone playing with your dick. Why wouldn't you want to have an orgasm another way? That again, like you said, people love.
Yeah. And I guess like there's another coin to it as well where...
Another side to the coin. Someone else is tired.
Where men might be almost grossed out because they know what goes on down there for them. And I'd always say, if you're going to explore this region with a person, not necessarily with toys by yourself, play clean.
Play clean.
Yeah.
So you can clean yourself properly. And that's not just on the outside. You can safely, what's called douching, which is just basically giving it a flush out. Just putting water in there
mm-hmm.
and giving it a good flush out.
What I always say to people when they speak to me or ask me about douching is I think a lot of people don't know about this, but when you douche, people think, oh, you're good to go. But you have to wait at least a half an hour, 45 minutes, because you have water inside you that doesn't come out, and your rectum will absorb it within 30 to 45 minutes, because you don't want to be going in someone's butthole and then like water falls out.
Yeah.
So if you're going to give it a go, just make sure you wait at least 30, 45 minutes. Not, I'm all clean now, let's give it a go.
Or just don't eat for 2 days.
That's what porn stars do.
I've heard this. I also heard it when they do like deep throat stuff.
Oh, interesting.
They won't eat for like a day before.
Well,
you know what you're not doing.
Yeah, I watched an interview with a porn star where she said that like if she's doing anal with a boyfriend or a dating partner or something, she'll just usually give herself a quick douche out and then that'd be good.
I don't like that word.
Douche.
Just a clean out.
Just a quick clean out and she'll be good. Whereas when she's actually filming a scene, she said it's such a prep. So for like 5 days before, she'll loads of fiber.
Yeah.
Then she'll do like a day of like just smoothies or like liquid diet, and then like they won't eat for a good like 24 hours and then clean themselves out fully.
That's commitment to the art.
I know. So when you're next watching a anal scene in porn, just think about that girl and what she's been doing and eating that week.
Poor girls. Like Tushy. Ever seen Tushy?
No.
It's like a company that just all they do is anal. But it's like good.
Right.
It's good scenes. It's not just like...
I'm saying girls as well, guys as well. Guys out there doing this as well. And that's their thing. I haven't got to, you know, properly clean my insides out just from having normal sex, where guys do in gay relationships.
It's got to be rough. As in like, that's like...
It probably just becomes a way of life, like normal. Yeah. I'm going to have sex tonight. I need to stop eating now and clean myself out.
Plan like that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Imagine you've just, I don't know, it was your birthday yesterday. You went absolutely crazy on all the food. And then your boyfriend's like, come here.
You're like, no,
come
no,
take
no,
a
no.
seat.
I ate yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. I ate and I know it's a ticking time bomb.
Mm, that's like with you and I sometimes. You're like, get your lips around this. I'm like, no, I ate a pasta tonight.
I can still taste the pesto a little bit. But yeah, I think it's an odd one because it's so hard to break that barrier. I think you've just got to reach a point where either your curiosity takes over or you drop the ego and just go with it. And again, if you're a woman who's like, I want to do this to my partner, but he's too uptight, you just really got to, don't surprise him.
Oh God, no. One for you, two for them.
Yeah, that's not great for anyone.
No.
But just call them out. Just be like, oh, I didn't realize you're a little bitch. Like big dick boys, have fun with this, not little dick boys.
Your life advice is so cutthroat.
Yeah, fuck them. Because the thing is, life's too short. Mm-hmm. These are the people that we're angling this at. This whole podcast was created for people who aren't able to explore because other people are holding them back in one way or another. Be cutthroat, because the worst thing in the world, this is like my biggest fear, and you know this, my biggest fear is that I step out in the road and I see a bus in my peripheral vision and it's doing speed. And I look, as I'm looking at it, I know it's going to hit me and I know I'm going to die. And I think of the things I didn't do and I wish I had. That's like my biggest fear. That's why I'm like so impatient with everything. That's why I'm like, if we're going to do something, let's do it now.
Yeah.
This podcast, the amount of like prep and organization we did before we launched it, which I'm very grateful for, because if it was just me, It would have been like a voice note uploaded to the internet. It would have been like six listeners, and the socials would have just been like a picture of me superimposed on the Great Wall of China. You know what I mean? Like there would have been nothing about it. But I like need to do it now because life is too short.
Mm.
And as you get older and life happens to the people around you, you're like, shit, life is too short. So
life's too short.
Unpucker that butthole and just let your partner slip a digit or two in. I think we've done that.
Cool.
If you've got anything about pegging or anything like that, let us know, because honestly, I'm sick of people saying it's bad.
Yeah. So actually, while we're on this topic,
okay,
I've had a message from somebody.
Are we jumping into messages?
No, so we will come back in a moment, but it's on the topic. So
this is crazy. We're all over the place today.
One of the earlier episodes was a woman whose partner wanted her to peg him. And after trying it out, she didn't enjoy it. I thought my experience may help them.
Okay.
This happened between my wife and I. She had been trying to convince me to allow her to stimulate my prostate. And I had been curious about pegging since watching a film, Young People Fucking, many years ago. I purchased a strap-on beginner kit from an online retailer and the harness didn't fit my wife. She's not large, but she does have some extra weight since having our second child. And the harness was not, the harness not fitting seems to deflate her enthusiasm. I ordered a different larger harness from elsewhere and the experience was a bit awkward for her. The dildo slipping out of the harness and just finding a position that worked for us as I'm a larger man. Trying to secure the strap-on and guide it in and out whilst hovering over me was a bit painful for her, wrists as she has carpal tunnel. And overall, she didn't enjoy the experience, but loved seeing me get more pleasure than usual. After that night, I picked up a larger, more lifelike dildo that would be easier for her to hold on to so she could pleasure me while giving me head. This progressed to a prostate stimulator vibrator, and finally last night, a new toy that vibrates, thrusts, and has an external pulsating area for between the scrotum and anus. We put that in, by far the girthiest toy I've ever experienced, and then I had the biggest orgasm of my life. This isn't exactly the same page as pegging, but with the thrusting of the toy, it's very similar and could perhaps work in conjunction with some naked dry humping from behind. Love the podcast. Keep doing what you do. It is really is an invaluable service, and I'm sure that it has sparked many kinky conversations between partners and will continue to do so. So that's his take on it. So the actual pegging part of it didn't go to plan.
Yeah.
So they tried some more toys and they found something that fit them both.
How good that they talked about it,
mm-hmm.
they worked it out.
Yep.
They made it work and then they continue to experiment.
Yeah. So fucking what do we always talk
hats
about?
Off communication.
And compromise.
Sex. All right. yeah. And it's finding that thing that works.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, always. And then continuing on with it. Because now you've got this new track. You know, they've got kids, they're married. I'm sure there's been times when it's gotten stale.
Yeah.
In it, not trying to be horrible, but life's life.
No, it naturally
life's
does. Yeah.
And they've now got this new thing, you know, and hopefully there's loads of new things that they're looking to explore or you know, are going on with this. I love hearing that.
Yeah.
That genuinely makes me.
I read that and I loved how they tried something. It didn't work for him, but they pursued and found something that
exactly.
worked. And I guess the reason I wanted to read that on this, obviously, because it's the anal stimulation
relevant
part of it.
Yeah.
But it's more like, if it's not for you, there might be something for you. Keep going. Don't close the book.
I always think the strap-on side of things, this is where, and again, I might have to speak to one of my friends who's female in a relationship with another woman and be like, how does it work? Because men, that's almost our, it's almost like a subconscious thing to thrust when we're like horny.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know because it's never quite looked natural. And that the fact that it's not attached to you, it's attached to a belt. And when you pull out, it can kind of move away,
yeah,
and then you're in.
It's easier
you can't feel the cock, so it's not
thrust with your hands.
Exactly.
If you're going to do it with a guy, but
some people, and I appreciate that, like that dominance of like being over the top of them, or you know, feeling the person there. And yeah, I think that's a great
that's
story,
cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I can hear like people saying like, "Why would you want a dick in your ass? You know what that makes you?" And I'm like,
no.
I don't think it does make you gay. Do you know what makes you gay? Being attracted to somebody of the same sex?
Yeah.
Not enjoying being stimulated.
Especially where you have a really nice little button as a male.
If you believe in God, that's how he designed you. All right. So don't fight Jesus, because apparently he's swole. All
right. Right. Moving on to the next one.
Oh, yeah. We still got, I feel like we're on letters already. See, you messed up my Zen.
Sorry. Yeah. So the next one is spanking.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to talk on this?
Can do.
Go for it.
We've talked about impact play before, haven't we?
We have.
I think the difference, when you like generalize with impact play, that's more about being struck one way or another. Spanking is much more of a, I think it's more psychological than it is as physical.
Yeah.
Because there's like the telling off. There's the association with naughtiness.
Mm-hmm.
There is the association of like skin on skin, smack. You know, do you know what I mean?
It's satisfying.
Satisfying for the person doing the spanking.
Yeah, but I also think
I'm pointing at myself.
for the woman as well, it's a satisfying, like, how do I say this? So if you were fucking me from behind and you was to slap me, it's like that's satisfying. I know that you're like really into it, and that's really satisfying to know.
That's probably the only time I do spank you.
Yeah. Mm. Or like in public at really inappropriate times.
Yeah, a funeral, like a christening.
Yeah, birthday parties.
Yeah, when I've just seen an old woman fall over in the street right in front of me. Your ass is getting it. That's what I think the main difference is. If you turn around and say impact play, that's the relationship between between pain and pleasure.
Well, impact play is anything as well. You could,
that's what I mean.
It's impacting the force with anything and any part of their body, really.
Exactly. It's the idea of I'm being hurt. I'm being like, I'm mixing the pain with the pleasure. Whereas in my head, I feel like when I spank you, it's like a dominance thing.
Yeah.
It's like you say, like, I'm reminding you I'm there and I'm into this.
You're in your moment.
Yeah. And there's like, I don't know if there's like a regression point for some people of like being helpless.
Mm.
And then we come back. A lot of this, and pretty much, I think it's like 99% of kink play really kind of comes down to dom type stuff.
Yeah, the dynamic.
Dynamic, exactly. But the idea of, and from my point of view, the idea of spanking you is like, I'm the person in charge. I'm the authority here. And you're being like, not demeaned, because it's less demeaning, but more like
used.
Yeah.
And
it's more like I will like punish you. I will like make you like sting for my pleasure.
Mm.
Like, I don't know how to explain it. I should have probably digested this more before we started recording.
I said it to you. I was like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, fuck next it, conversation. I've spanked you a couple of times. But it's more like it's a personal touch.
Yeah.
When, if I use like a riding crop on you or like a whip on you, that's like disassociation. That's more me being like,
I feel like that's more degrading as well. And that's much more of the dynamic in play, whereas spanking is just kind of fun, spicy.
It's much more intimate between the two of you. Like I said, it's skin on skin,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the thing. Whereas when I'm separate from you and I'm using a riding crop on you, which is like one of the things we have.
Yeah.
That for me is like, you're now putting on a show for me. You're like, you know what I mean? Like we're not in this together. I'm in control of you. I'm degrading you. I'm making you hurt. There's no pleasure for me at the same time.
Lip biting.
Yes.
I'm going somewhere with this. Lip biting is like just that thing that you'll do because you're feeling spicy in the moment. And mm-hmm. that's almost the same as spanking. There's no like real power play or anything there. It's just like an in the moment confirmation of enjoyment.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And also when you think about like, when we're like talking about impact stuff, if we're using accessories, we've planned that.
Yeah.
Whereas a spank, like you say, is so in the moment. Yeah, no, I get that.
You get it? You like that?
I like that.
Cool.
I don't think there's many people that would have a barrier to doing this.
No.
I think there would just be some people who don't like it because they don't like the pain pleasure type mix.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they don't like the dominance side of it. But I've never experienced somebody saying, no, don't spank me.
What would you do if like we were getting into a new position, like partway through sex and I just spanked your ass?
I'd take a breath. I'd stop. I'd pause. I'd ponder. And then I'd just get back into it, to be honest.
It wouldn't like give you an instant like, what was that? What are you doing?
There would be a moment. You'd see it in my eyes. But I'd stop. And, you know, I'd be like, I'd probably ask, are you okay? Like, I'd glance over to our mystery box in the cupboard and be like, is the strap on coming out now? Like, I don't know what's going on. But no, if you want to spank me, you can spank me.
All right, noted.
I don't know. I don't know if I would enjoy it.
Okay.
It's not how my dynamic works in my head. So yeah.
Cool. All right then. So.
What are we doing now?
We have a confession this week.
Wait. Way around.
No, it's not. So usually we do slippery when wet next. So we're going to throw in a confession this week.
This is episode 18 and I still don't know the order of things. And I think normally we do people's problems and stuff and then confessions come afterwards. Like the confession stuff comes later. You're gaslighting me right now. All right.
You're tired. Okay.
No, stop stroking my leg.
Right. So hi, Chelsea and Luke. Love the podcast. Keep it up. Let's get into the crux of it. This isn't an embarrassing story, but it's good nevertheless. I'm a 40-year-old male that's been married for a while, but I've decided to stay anonymous because this story isn't about my wife.
Uh-oh.
She goes back So this goes back a really long time ago to the time I lost my virginity. This was my first girlfriend and I had zero previous experience. She had been in a few relationships and she was able to show me some things. I started off by going down and did an okay job for my first time eating pussy, but was keen to move on to the next stage. So I started going to town on my girlfriend, but trying to make sure as my first time I didn't come too soon. I got about 5 minutes in and she's being very vocal about being how good it was, and all of a sudden I'm soaked. My bed had a huge puddle on it. Once I realised, I stopped, looked at her confused and asked if she's pissed on me. She explained that she was a squirter. My brain exploded. I didn't even know what that was. Didn't know it was even a thing. She came a few more times and we both needed a shower afterwards. Once the storm had settled, I got to thinking, am I really good at this? Since then, I've had plenty of long-term relationships, which I managed to get almost all my partners to squirt. Now happily married, I still smile from time to time about some of them experiences I've had.
Why are you looking at me like that? You looked at me like a psychopath then. You looked at me crazy.
I just turned my neck. I didn't even like...
Yeah, you were like Annabelle doll.
This guy can... he knows a thing or two. Good man.
Cut from the same cloth. First of all, just to touch on that.
Yeah.
You don't know how terrifying it is being a man and losing your virginity.
Oh, I can imagine. You have it pressure's on you and you have no idea what you're doing.
When you use the word pressure, you should feel the pressure in the tip of your penis when you're trying not to ejaculate the first time you slide inside a vagina. It is wild.
Well, you see it all the time of just men come instantly as soon as they slide in.
I probably came 3 times before I actually got it in. The thing is as well, like, I love, it took me back a long time and I was like, you think you're a god at that age.
Mm.
I was young. You think you're a god and you're like, yep, I just ate pussy for 30 whole seconds. And it was so good. She grabbed my hair and pulled my head away because it was just too good, apparently. And then we had sex for 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
2 minutes, quite a long time.
That's a long time at that age.
When he said 5 minutes, I was like, my guy's blown me out of the water. It was not a good showing. But when he's talking about squirting,
we like that.
We like that. And I feel like when you know how to, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're moving on to Naughty Corner.
You've thrown me up. No, I'm not even doing it. Whatever, yeah. Naughty Corner.
All right, the first one. My wife and I really love fucking on weed. While the heightened sensations are great, the best part for me, I'm more free with my dirty talk. When sober or drunk, I hold back a little. Recently, we had a fantastic session high. I called her my dirty little whore, my bitch, first time, and she was giving it right back. Ordered her to eat my ass, and she did it for the first time. Felt fantastic. I want to tap into that energy sober, but my filter is just too strong. My partner would welcome it. Oddly, I don't have a filter for my actions. Sober, I still choke her, slap her, etc. Any tips for loosening up my tongue? Verbally.
Okay. The partner welcomes it. It seems like they're really well matched. Like, everything's good. Cool. They smoke some weed and then he can get a bit more loose with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he needs to speak to his partner and just be like, tell me, like, you start it. You know, it's easier to fall in because it is like a role play thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't think she's a bitch. Like, it's his partner. Same as the way that when we're having sex, I'll sort of degrade you. I don't think that at all. Like, I love you to pieces. So I feel like it's a role that you're playing in that moment. Like, I feel like if she were to instigate it or even just like grip him and be like, call me a bitch. Tell me I'm a dirty little whore. You're kind of on the spot and you have to. You're like, oh, you're a dirty little whore.
Yeah.
And once you do it once or twice, then you're just in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so my advice is actually very, very similar.
Oh my God.
So similar. I would say, so he said his partner would welcome it. So yeah. She must be quite happy to talk dirty back. So until you're completely loose with your tongue, as you say, I would in the moment say to her, like ask her questions, like, tell me your fantasy, tell me what you want me to do to you. You're getting her to do the talking, but you're still doing it in a sexy way. And then she could say, I want you to watch me get, this isn't going to happen, but I want you to watch me get gangbanged. You'd be like, oh yeah, tell me exactly what you like about it. Do you feel like a little slut when you're doing it? You're getting her to give you the narrative and you're just having a little bit of input here and there.
Just chipping in a little bit, just to steer it.
Still naughty. And then you might hear something that you're like, oh, I like that, what she's talking about. I'd also like you to see you suck my cock while you're doing it. Like, she's setting the story, she's setting the picture. And
she's
then
she's doing all the work.
I mean, after a couple of times, that will start to become more natural. And we've said this before on previous episodes about dirty talk, but what I will always say is you haven't got to come up with a new story every single time. We talk dirty and we talk about the same stuff most of the time.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's still naughty in the moment. You haven't got to come up with a new sexy scenario or a new way of talking or degrading them every single time. So don't worry if you're talking about the same thing you spoke about last week. Still sexy.
That's it. I think there's probably, again, I always want to know more.
Mm.
So I want to know, like, is this person really passive in their day-to-day life? Are they somebody that isn't in an environment where they're used to being a bit more outspoken and maybe a bit more, I don't want to say like rough, but a bit more like, where I talk, the way that I talk on here is the way I talk in real life, it's very easy for me to take a step forward and talk dirty to you because I talk quite rash.
Open, yeah,
before that. So I wonder whether there's like things he could implement in his day-to-day life to allow him to be a step closer to that.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Instead of it just being, I'm a very timid, shy person.
But he's not, because he said that his filter's strong, but not for his actions. He's happy to grip Sarah and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but what I mean is,
I wouldn't say that's a shy person though.
I guess.
Some people are just uncomfortable with talking dirty because it's not something they've really done before, or it could be a bit embarrassing. So it's almost like an element of role play, and there could be that embarrassment of like showing themselves up or saying the wrong thing. Especially if you're an overthinker, you don't want to say the wrong thing, therefore you can't get anything out in the first place.
You don't have that in-betweeners moment. You know, fuck my fucking
fuck.
God, yeah, that makes my teeth itch.
Do you know something else I would suggest here? Text him. Getting used to it, because it's so much easier to sit and write than it is to think and speak.
That's
at the
a really
same time.
Good idea.
So a little bit of texting, because you can sit for a minute and compose your message. And then also, as lame as it sounds, get some inspiration. Have a look at like dirty talk segments on Reddit and think like things that people would say and do. Steal a little bit of it and implant it in your brain.
Yeah. Or like you can subscribe to like a Patreon where somebody does like like reads dirty erotica.
Coming
like
soon.
Coming soon. Coming soon. But no, let us know how you're going with that, because that is an interesting one. And that's something, I think there's an easy fix to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he was like a mate of mine, I'd put my arm around his shoulder and be like, let's talk.
Do it to me. Let's practice.
Wait, let me put my lipstick on first. But no, I think there's an easy fix to it. Yeah, it's just a confidence piece.
It's confidence, sure, and it's practice as well. Yeah. And like I said, you don't want to get something wrong and make a fool of yourself. So try with the texting and let her take the story with it as well, and just give little inputs along the way until you feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
Cool. You happy with that?
Happy with that.
All right.
What's
so
the next one?
Next one. I am a 29-year-old male. My wife and I have recently opened our business and have had a lot of friends come visit. A couple of weeks ago, a guy I hooked up with visited a mutual friend of ours. After I finished work, I joined them for a few drinks. Within minutes, he was touching me, telling me how much he missed me and my massive cock, as well as trying to kiss me later on in the night, and he did land one or two. My wife hates him after this, but I can't stop thinking about him and wanting to fuck him. We have been sending each other spicy pictures, and I have thought about him while masturbating. Can't get the idea of fucking him out of my head. How can I get this out of my system without cheating on my wife?
Ooh. Wow. Number one, what's opening a business got to do with anything? Is he want to become a sponsor? Is that what that is?
Yeah, get in touch.
Okay, you say you don't want to cheat on your wife, but my guy, you've pretty much already cheated on your wife.
Yeah, I think cheating
varies by opinion, but realistically,
sending nude pictures,
Yeah.
Is kind of cheating. Yeah. If I'd found out somebody was doing that behind my back, I'd straight up end it. That because they cheated on me, regardless of whether it was a physical act. Exactly. It's emotional cheating and imagey cheating.
Image. I mean, the thing to always do is, if you ever find yourself in a situation like this or something like this, just flip it on its head.
Yeah.
Would I like it if my wife was doing this to me? No, my fucking head would fall off and I would hate it. Mm. Oh, therefore I shouldn't do it to them. How do you get it out of your head?
I think, one thing I'll say, it's obviously not great having these thoughts. And if you're having these thoughts about someone while in a relationship, that's not the best sign. However, it happens. You hear about it all the time with people. So, you know, once it's in your head, it's in your head, and you kind of can't get mad at him for that. But you're not helping the situation. You're keeping him there in your peripherals by texting him and sending him naughty pictures. What I would tell my friends that came to me with this is block him, delete him, get him out of your mind, get him out of your life. If it's in your eye line,
you pretty much said it.
You're not going to be able to stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
And he's still in your eye line.
Like I say, you're building the desire. Mm. You're totally building the desire. What you need to kind of think about, one is that you've put the apple from the tree in front of you, you know, you've put temptation in front of you.
Mm.
And then the bloke's obviously, sorry, he's a dickhead, like trying to kiss you and like grab you up in front of your wife.
No, not in front of his wife.
Well, she hates him because of it.
Yeah, I think he told her.
Fair play. But still, yeah. He's a dickhead for doing that, regardless.
Yeah, the guy shouldn't be doing that. And also, like, if you've got somebody who's really willing to wreck your marriage for their sake, you don't need them in your life. That's toxic.
It's just not a good thing. Yeah, cool, you used to bang back in the day, but why? Nah, it's just, you have to just remove that. You have to, like you said, block, delete, just don't do it.
Mm.
And like, if it's a case of, you know, you miss some dick, speak to the wife.
Yeah.
You know, speak to your wife and just be like, you know, I'm bisexual. This is like one of those things. Like sometimes you'll say to me, like, I just really want some pussy. And I'm like, okay. But it's, all you're doing is you're creating a rod for your own back here.
Yeah.
And it's not positive. You know it's not positive. That's why you've written in. So fair play. And as soon as something's forbidden, but you can almost touch it, you want to touch it more than anything.
Exactly.
So remove it. Unless, you know, your wife doesn't mean that much to you. And your marriage doesn't mean that much to you. And then go ahead and ruin it.
Well, I was going to say, by keeping his number and keeping him unblocked, what are the benefits to you for that? What are you actually gaining from that?
Well, they've got a new business. No,
but you know
right.
What I mean? Like you're gaining no benefits from that. What are you gaining from not having that? Well, you're not going to cheat on your wife. You're not doing anything behind her back.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know if this guy has any involvement in you whatsoever other than spicy pictures and messages.
Yeah.
But he's not bringing anything to the table and that's toxic.
It's also, yeah, it just reminds me of that power play from somebody of like, I used to have you, now somebody else has you. I want to know that I can still have you again.
Yeah.
Cool, that's sexy in some ways. But it's also like, it can ruin your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like your new business that you know, shamelessly plugged on our podcast. No, but yeah, if your wife were to find out you were doing this, you're probably going to lose it all.
Yeah.
Probably lose your house. Like it's going to end up really, really bad. Is it worth it? Is it really worth it? That's just fair. Run through a logical list. We've obviously, like, when it comes to like the human brain, we've got sort of two parts to it. And you're really thinking illogically. Just sit there. Just, I don't know, have a wank. Knock it out, get rid of the demons for a minute, and then think about a logical list of everything you would lose. Think about every single thing that you'd stand to lose, and it doesn't sound like you got anything to gain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not to take this away from being a sexy podcast, but we are here for like relationship stuff as well. And why would you risk it?
Yeah.
Why would you?
I feel like he probably knows that just from the way he's worded it in writing in. So stick with your gut. I'm sorry if that's not totally the answer you wanted, but it's the truth.
Yeah. And again, if it's like you just want to, you know, you want to have sex with a man again or feel that, speak to your wife about it. And it might not be something that she's into, but then at least you've got that communication and the understanding between the two of you. This is how I'm feeling right now. That doesn't then give you a green light to you know, betray her. But
yeah, I think if he was to have that conversation with her, this guy needs to not be in the picture at all. Because 100%. Regardless of whether, you know, you've hooked up with guys or girls before her, it's usually going to make that the person you're with now insecure, going back to someone that they've been with. So if he was to have the conversation and she was to be in agreement that, yeah, we can do something together, I'll do it with a freshie.
Yeah, completely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, a random.
Yeah.
But remove the desire.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah,
there's too many people like that nowadays. Don't be that guy. All right. Right, what we got next?
So, oops, wrong hole.
Oh, see, now you know you're doing this to me. This is the wrong
I've
order.
I've changed up the structure today a bit. So it's oops, wrong hole. So we do have a story submission that I'm going to read out, but we also have some threads. A thread.
Okay. I'm fucking here for it. Whatever. Okay. Me and the audience, we have no idea what's coming.
You've no idea.
Let's do it.
Right. So oops, wrong hole. Just got back from Dublin.
Okay.
3 days of chopping copious amounts of piss and spending more money than you can imagine whilst dancing around in bars, solidifying the fact that as to why everyone hates English people. You know the type of lad trips away.
Yeah.
After a full day of Guinness, one of the lads disappears. Now, for his sake, we shall call him Clive, as he has quite an important job and has asked for complete discretion. The soft fuck. So he's not to be seen for the rest of the night. Next morning, opening my eyes, all blurry and bank account walloped, check the group chat. Clive disappeared and turns out he had to take himself to A&E. Why, might you ask? Well, Clive, being slightly worse for wear and having more cash than you can imagine, decided to take himself to, for a better phrase, Thai massage parlour. Having paid £90 for 30 minutes and getting little to no blood in the old fella, she called the clock at 28 minutes, so he decided to let her rev up the engine, not to waste any more money. 30 minutes hits, no joy. Clive pulls his trousers up and decides to slide into the local boozer next door to finish himself off. Pulls down his trousers, and what he is met by is a horrifying sight. His foreskin has swollen up to the size of that described as a cream egg.
Fucking hell. Oh no.
Up go the trousers and off to the hospital he goes. En route to the hospital, he decides to give his brother a call.
Wait, no, sorry. A cream egg.
A cream egg, that's so specific.
But it's so big.
So his foreskin is the size of a cream egg.
His foreskin's the size of, oh my.
Like a little mushroom cap.
Little?
Big mushroom cap.
You put a fucking cream egg in your mouth lately. That's big.
I seen you with a cream egg in your mouth last week, Cole.
So he's gone to get a little bit of extra.
Yeah.
Because this bloke, number one, sounds class. Out with the boys, boozing hard. And he's like, you know what I need?
A massage of a happy ending.
Yeah. And this is not a happy ending.
It's not gone well.
A cream egg. Right, sorry. So he's phoned his brother. Fucking hell.
En route to the hospital, he decides to give his brother a call. Not for anything weird. His brother's a doctor. His brother answers quiet, sleepy, and Clive decides to play a game of guess the problem after giving him hints of symptoms. To be fair to Clive's brother, the fucker nailed it. Clive had a condition called paraphimosis, which I, for one, have never heard of. But a quick overview of what the Google says is when the foreskin gets trapped behind the helmet and inflates. Probably not 100% accurate, but you get the gist. If untreated, can lead to serious complications such as gangrene.
Gangrene.
Holy shit.
Gangrene.
On your dick.
On your dick.
Yeah.
No. You don't understand. The one place you do not want gangrene is your dick. I take my eyes. Take my hands. Take everything.
Not your
gangrene. Oh my God.
Clive continues to walk into A&E like John Wayne and sees a nice looking lady at reception and has to explain what's happened to his Johnson. Luckily for Clive, with a flight the next morning, he was rushed through and didn't have to worry about the 8 to 12 hour wait. Numbing gel was administered and the foreskin was massaged back over the helmet.
He got his happy ending.
And a doctor's note was written for him to fly back to England with the recommendation of a circumcision. On the taxi back to the airport, Clive turned to me and said, I expected to maybe lose something in Dublin, but my foreskin was probably at the bottom of that list. Now, we did what all of you are probably thinking and asked him why he didn't just tell her to stop or at least calm down. Clive's response, you have to lie there and take your wank like a man. I guess you can only salute this sort of mindset.
Sorry, say that. What did he say again?
You have to lie there and take your wank like a man.
I expected to lose something in Dublin.
My foreskin was at the bottom of the list.
Could you?
Oh, Clive. Lesson for all. Just be fucking careful of the Thai massage places in Dublin. Unless, of course, your snood has already been removed, then knock yourself out. Absolutely love the podcast. Keep up the good work. Makes my week every week.
My face hurts.
Oh, poor guy.
Oh, ow.
Oh,
if you were to make a list. Fucking hell.
I don't even think it would make the list.
I'm never thinking about parting with my foreskin. Why would you? You gotta take your wank like a man. What a fucking hero Clive is. I like the fact that he got his happy ending in the hospital.
Well, it's lubed up for starters.
It's numb though. Oh, so yeah. That's bullshit. I'd be like, scrap the numbing gel, just get on with it. No, I wouldn't. No. I'd be crying. Do you know what I'd probably do?
Come on.
Probably phone my mum.
Would you?
I'd be in bits.
Your mum would giggle non-stop.
She would think it's hilarious. My mum is an evil person who thinks pain is the funniest thing to see someone go through.
Tell them the story about your knee.
My knee? So there's six-year-old Luke, happy, springing a step. It's a lovely spring day. Me and my mate's throwing a ball around in this like field near our house, right? Oh, I remember this so clearly. Jesus. I was genuinely six or seven. And the ball like sailed past me. And in my head, I was like, I'm an athlete. I can do this. I've dived to catch it. And as I've caught it, like, do you remember that feeling when you like hit your knees on like dry mud?
Mm.
Or like just not like concrete, but like dry grass, and you'd hit your knees and they'd hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
It was like that, but the pain didn't go away. And I was like, ooh, okay, that's weird. And then I threw the ball back and I kept rubbing my knee. And I was like, that's like really hurting. So I just started crying, like just straight away, ran home. And it was literally like 40 meters from my house, ran home. And like my brother was there and a load of our mates. And they were like, what are you doing? What's wrong? Got back to my house, banging on the door. I've pulled up my trouser leg and there's like blood like pissing down my shin.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, what the fuck? What the fuck? My mum's like, what have you done? I was like, I just banged my knee. I just fell on the ground and banged my knee. Let's have a look. So all the kids are now gathered around, like, let's look at it. Like, I'm pretty sure someone had a stick ready to poke it. And what had happened was, there was a broken mirror. This is like a testament to where I grew up. So a broken mirror, and it's like a tiny little bit, like a patch of broken glass right where my knee had landed.
Mm.
It might have been a full mirror. Like, my seven-year-old chassis just destroyed it. But and it had cut the most perfect circle. And I'll show, if people are genuinely interested, I'll take a picture of the scar, because the scar is a perfect circle. And it basically removed, like, imagine like bigger than a 5p, smaller than a 10p.
Mm.
And the depth of it was probably like a solid 3 or 4 mil. This is me getting specific, but it was this perfect circle just missing out of my knee. and blood everywhere. And like other parents were coming down, like the kids are saying, like, Luke's chopped his fucking leg off. What's going on? And I was like, I've got to go to the hospital. I was like, Mum, you've got to take me to the hospital. My mum thinks this is hilarious.
I know.
She's like, I'm not taking you to the hospital. Stop being an idiot. There's nothing wrong with you. I'm like, looking at this saucer. We're getting to that. Looking at this saucer shaped hole in my knee. And then, yeah, there's one of the mums was like, someone who worked in the hospital. She wasn't a nurse or anything, but she like worked in the hospital. And she was like, look, all they're going to do is scrub that and it's going to suck. Mm. Or you just go and get in the bath now and just let it heal. It's up to you. So I was like, fuck that. I'm not doing that. Not getting scrubbed. Because that's in my head. And they were like, they were all in on it. They were like, they'll just get a TCP and scrub it. And in my head, I was like, I could see like a wire brush. I was like, fuck that. No, I'm not doing it. I'm getting in the bath. Gone upstairs. Got in the bath. My mum's come in. She's like, I've just got my knee above water. She's like, you need to clean it. I was like, I'm not doing this. No. I was like, I want bubble bath. I want my matey bubble bath. I'm not doing it. She's like, you're not having bubble bath. Get your fucking knee in the water. My mum doesn't swear, but she was like aggressive.
Yeah.
She's then grabbed my leg, forced it underwater. I'm screaming. I'm crying again. I've just cried for like the happy spring day, fucking ruined. Jamming my leg underwater. And she was like, shut up and look at your knee. Look at this. And you could see where the blood vessels were pissing the blood out.
Yeah.
Because it was underwater. So it was like a little streams of blood. And she was like, how interesting is that? And I promise you, 30 years later, I remember the pain. I remember it. And I was like, I don't care. This really hurts. And she was like, stop being a baby.
But she was giggling, wasn't she?
She's laughing. She thought it was hilarious. And then, oh God, yeah. And then like, I'd knock the scab was horrible for ages. And I'd knock it off and be really upset. And she's like, let's get it in the bath again. But it was like, she was semi like saying it to shut me up. Semi, she genuinely wanted to see it in the bath again and just see it piss out blood underwater. God, we've unloaded some trauma today.
Yeah, that was a longer story than I was expecting.
No, I wanted to go into it. People are like that. Okay. People like my tangents.
Right, we're going to move on.
Clive and his foreskin, man. I'm not going to get over that. I don't want to Google that problem either.
No. So, what's the most awkward thing someone has said to you after sex?
Who are you?
Right, I've got a few, so I'm just going to run through them, okay?
Smash out.
Sorry about coming so fast. I was thinking about the carrot cake you made earlier.
Okay.
I want the carrot cake recipe.
Yeah, I want you to have the carrot cake recipe as well.
Okay, next one. It's not what she said, but what her friends yelled at us from the other room. You know she has a boyfriend, right?
Oh, the fact that they waited till the end?
Yeah.
Bitches. Bitches.
Right, I hooked up with a guy and saw a book on my nightstand. Wait,
what?
Sorry. I hooked up with a guy and he saw a book on my nightstand and casually told me that he had read the book because there wasn't much else to do in prison than read.
You got to like find out. You just got a couple questions.
You got to vet
who
you fucking in your own house.
Yeah, just a couple questions after that. Like, all right, was it like a cat A prison? A cat B prison? Because you're in danger.
A girl I slept with in college said, I can't wait to have your baby.
Run. Jesus.
When I went into the bathroom to clean up, I legit... Oh, this is him. This is his follow-on. When I went into the bathroom to clean up, I legit blew into the condom like a balloon to make sure there weren't any holes. After that, I let the air out and tied that thing in a knot and hid it under the trash can bag so she wouldn't be able to find it and try and do something with it. That's paranoia.
No. That's justified paranoia.
Oh, yeah. Justified.
I can't
completely.
Wait to have your babies. Are you fucking kidding me? You're in college. You're like in your prime. Nah.
So, what was the most awkward thing that someone said to you after sex? My wife. We should buy a boat. Absolutely not a topic we'd been discussing at all. So you can imagine my reaction. Naturally, I agreed. 4 weeks later, we now own a boat.
Yeah, no. I would be devastated.
What, straight after sex? We should buy a boat.
Yeah, but you've just been getting ploughed. I've been doing my best work.
She's thinking about her sales.
About a boat. Yeah, you're like, you know what?
Doing her knots in her head.
Yeah.
Right, not afterwards, and it's what I said. The woman started telling me mid-sex to degrade her and call me vanilla, but I wasn't really sure what she was asking or wanting, but I tried for her sake and said, your pussy is trash.
This is trash.
Oh no.
Oh, this one's adorable. After sex, she told me, "Thank you for having sex with me."
You almost want to shake her hand and go, "It's okay.
It's okay.
You're welcome.
It's what I'm here for."
I hope you enjoyed that.
Damn, you've got really nice cable management. So at least I know my cable management was better than my sex skills. Her head was over the bed so she could see under my desk. If I'm honest, I could understand this one because I think cable management is so...
Don't say sexy. It's not sexy. Shut
admirable.
Up. Admirable. Yeah, sound.
And if I saw someone with really good cable management and wasn't able to say within that moment how good it is and compliment them on it, it would be in my mind until I could. So if I was in that situation, I might have done that same thing.
No? Anyway, what's next?
Anyway, was during, but she popped my dangler out of her mouth. Yes, it made a slight popping noise, stared me in the eyes and asked, "Do you believe in God?"
These Mormons will do anything to get you to get into their team.
People aren't vetting their Tinder bangs.
No, but I tell you now, I bet she was a crazy fuck. I bet it was great. Ah, crazy Jesus.
She's
now.
Like, "Do you believe in God?"
Midway
like,
through, giving you pamphlets.
I do now.
Where was she storing the pamphlets? Do you know? I'd be like, "I don't know yet. I'm undecided. Come back in a couple of days."
All right, this next one I can imagine coming from someone with a bit of sass to him. She said, "Oh, are you tired after 15 minutes? Your ego is going to completely deflate hearing that.
I couldn't. Wow.
Right, last one. We met through my mum and her mum working together. I said mid-sex while I was stroking her missionary, "I bet our parents didn't think we'd be doing this." Not sure why I said that.
The thing is, that's how my brain works. I totally sympathize with that.
Yeah.
Being like, in my head, like, you'd be like, "Oh, I'm doing this. Like, we're doing something that nobody thought." And then you think, "Whoa, those motherfuckers introduced us."
And then all of a sudden thinking about your mum, like, why you're inside a woman.
It's happened. But you're like, they did not think this was going to happen.
There's another thing for you. If midway through sex, I was like, "You spoke to your mum today." How would that make you feel?
Angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You've absolutely confounded me there. I'm trying to put myself in a position and I really don't want to. It's like my brain's putting an automatic block on it because it doesn't want it. Yeah, no.
We'll find out.
No, please don't. What's the most awkward thing we've said after sex?
I don't think we have, apart from the Simba fiasco.
Yeah, that was good. That ruined that orgasm for me. I remember. Worth it.
But no, I don't think we've really said anything awkward after.
No, I guess not. We're boring.
God, we are.
Yeah, we just do really kinky, fucked up sex. And we don't say anything hilarious afterwards or during about our parents or anything.
No. So that's us for this week.
Yeah, there's been some wild tangents in that one.
There has. So if you want to submit a story, a question, a fantasy, a confession, go to iotk.fun, F-U-N for November.
Yeah, and we've got a whole host of social media that you can jump into. We haven't really been posting at the minute just because we obviously had our little break.
I've got a plaster on my forehead.
You've got a plaster on your forehead, so we haven't filmed today. Why have you got a plaster on your forehead?
Luke bruised me.
That's absolutely not true. Tell the truth. Stop
is that not the truth?
Chelsea's got a massive spot on her forehead and I tried getting it for her and it went wrong. So we were meant to obviously film and then we can make clips and everyone loves them and we get millions of views on some of them because people think it's controversial and love talking about it. We can't do that because Chelsea's got a plaster on her head like she's fucking Nelly the rapper. Right, so hopefully next week we'll be back to doing that stuff, but please go and hit up our socials.
Which is?
Ironing Out the Kinks.
Yeah, on?
Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We've got YouTube.
We do.
Ha ha. Ha ha. But yeah, submit to us and let us know what, you know, talk to us. Let us know if you want to talk about stuff. Let us know if you're enjoying things. If you are enjoying things, last week I started angry. I'm not angry today.
No.
Some people reviewed us. We got more reviews, but not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, just get in there, subscribe and like it, because then it keeps you up to date and helps us out. Tell your friends. Tell your parents.
Ooh.
Tell your colleagues. Get more people, get people into this, because we want this to grow. We want this to grow so we can spread the good vibes and the good messages.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the best way to advertise is through word of mouth. So yeah, you got anything else to add?
No.
Nope. All right, that's that. Cheers then.
Bye.
Bye.